Unit 14. The Flowers. Section 1. Listening Comprehension. Exercise 1. Listen to the following passages and then decide whether the following statements are true or false.
1. On Sunday, November 14th, the process of choosing the new leader was launched. With the announcement of elections to choose Arafat's successor as President of the Palestinian Authority, PA, to be held on January 9th. However, some high obstacles must be overcome before the Palestinians can reach the goal they have dreamed of for so long.
2. As American households have run up ever larger debts, and as banks and other lenders have given up collecting their own debts because stricter federal and state regulations have made the business more costly, the collection industry's annual revenues have more than tripled in the past 10 years to $16.5 billion.
3. The economic slowdown in the Ural area, however, has been both sudden and savage. The 12-nation bloc grew at an annual pace of just 1.2% in the third quarter, according to figures released on Friday. After expanding by 2% in the second quarter and 2.8% in the first, it seems the recovery in the Euro area, which has been long awaited, may already be dearly departed.
4. France's short-lived boom owed something to its finance minister, Nicolas Sarkozy. He arm-twisted the supermarkets into lowering their prices and let consumers deduct some of the interest on their loans from their taxes. But Mr. Sarkozy's measures proved to be temporary fixes. Consumers' confidence ebbed last month, and their spending on manufactured goods fell in the third quarter. Mr. Sarkozy will abandon his post to contest his party's leadership this month. The good times he promoted have left even before he has.
5. In France, an abrupt shuddering stop is described as an arrêt brutal. Brutal is again meant metaphorically, just as the English talk of something stopping dead. But the slowdown in the European and Japanese economies is, quite literally, brutal, and quite possibly, fatal to their hopes of a sustained recovery.
6. American households saved just 1.2% of their disposable income in the second quarter, and just 0.4% of it in the third. An absence of thrift and explosion of credit were sure signs that money was too easy, i.e., rates were too low.
7. In America, many experts believe that dubious patents abound, such as the notorious one for a sealed, crustless sandwich. Of the few patents that are re-examined by the Patent and Trademark Office itself, often after complaints from others, most are invalidated or their claims clipped down. The number of duplicate claims among patents is far too high. What happens in America matters globally, since it is the world's leading patent office, approving about 170,000 patents each year, half of which are granted to foreign applicants.
8. Given the complexity of the problem, then, researchers see a need to combine several drugs into a therapy so that several mutations can be treated simultaneously. That is not, it must be said, a new idea. Combination therapies are standard for most cancers and also for AIDS. But most existing treatments include several of the traditional non-specific drugs. The trick now is to work out how to build successful combinations using the new generation of targeted drugs.
9. In the 1890s, Eugene Dubois, an anatomist working as a doctor in the Dutch army, stunned the scientific world when he found the first fossil human remains outside Europe. Java man, Homo erectus, as it is now known, threw ideas about human evolution into chaos by suggesting that Europe was not, as most anthropologists had hitherto assumed, the cradle of human evolution.
10. When we meet a stranger, we form an immediate impression of the sort of man he is. Without thinking, we take in small details of how he stands, the way he uses his hands, his eye movements, and facial expressions. The conclusions we draw may or may not be correct, but they certainly affect our actions. If we start to talk with him, our words are accompanied by other gestures which may elucidate, emphasize, enhance, or even contradict what we say. Exercise 2. Choose the one answer that best fits the meaning of the statement you have heard.
1. Such a site has not, of course, completely escaped archaeological attention in the past. A dig in an outlying part of it, known as Gonfienti, has been underway since 1998. Gabriella Poggesi, the archaeologist in charge of the Gonfienti dig, has unearthed the foundations of what was evidently a wealthy settlement on the banks of the Vincenzo River.
2. Although these patterns are invisible to the naked eye, they can be detected and analyzed by computer programs, and it is these that the three researchers have spent the past year devising. So far, they cannot trace individual printers, but they can tell pretty reliably which make and model of printer was used to create a document.
3. The National Research Council's NRC Board on Life Sciences and Board on Agriculture and Natural Resources have convened a standing committee that will help identify emerging issues in the broad areas of agricultural biotechnology. The Standing Committee on Agricultural Biotechnology, Health, and the Environment, CABHE, will review and discuss scientific guidance for issues surrounding biotechnology as it is applied to food and fiber production, health, and the environment.
4. The University of Michigan unveiled a new undergraduate admissions policy that gives highest priority to academic performance while still including race as a factor, in response to two recent U.S. Supreme Court rulings. While the old undergraduate admissions formula awarded minority applicants an extra 20 points, the new policy does not quantify the contribution of race to admission decisions. The university's application for admission will now include several questions designed to elicit more information about a prospective student's background and achievements.
5. Examining historical and modern species records from Singapore and neighboring Malaysia, researchers found that Singapore has lost 95% of its native forest habitat and nearly 28% of its overall biodiversity since 1819, when the British established a colony on the island. Today, more than half of Singapore's surviving species are concentrated in just 0.25% of the country's total area in land designated as forest reserves.
6. The 2,514 new cases of HIV reported among drug users in 2000 represented a 5% increase from the previous year. However, the total number of cases is still lower than those from previous years. In 1994, for example, 4,226 new cases of HIV infection among injected drug users were reported.
7. Trans fatty acids, often found in cookies, crackers, dairy products, meats, and fast food, increase the risk of heart disease by boosting levels of bad cholesterol.
8. Early symptoms of infection include fever, headaches, dry cough, swollen lymph nodes, chills, and severe sweating. Currently, there is no treatment for the disease, which is fatal in 1 to 10% of infected humans. Although smallpox vaccination can protect people from developing monkeypox, it is not foolproof. Of the 23 reported cases of the disease in the U.S., one patient had already received the smallpox vaccination.
9. The world's freshwater reserves are shrinking due to pollution, climate change, and population growth, according to a United Nations report presented this week at the World Water Forum in Kyoto. In the next 20 years, the average amount of water available for each person worldwide will drop by 1/3. By mid-century, anywhere from 2 to 7 billion people, out of a projected global population of 9.3 billion, will experience water scarcity.
10. This year, the mood at the show was unusually gloomy. There was much muttering about the sparsity of both exhibitors and attendees, whose numbers fell to around 50,000 this year from around 200,000 in 2000. Veterans grumbled that a once sprawling show that used to take 5 full days to absorb could now be covered in an hour or two. Once the biggest annual show in Las Vegas, COMDEX has lately been eclipsed by the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, which earlier this year attracted around 120,000 visitors. This mirrors the shift in the technology industry's center of gravity, away from PCs towards sexier consumer electronics devices, such as mobile phones, games consoles, digital video recorders, and flat panel TVs. Section 2. Reading.
Poppy glut brings crash in opium prices. So many farmers grew opium in Afghanistan this spring that the country's opium market is now flooded, causing prices for this illegal drug to drop by an average of 65% across the country, according to Afghan government officials, Western diplomats, and opium farmers. While an overabundance of opium is a setback for the country in the short term, Afghan and Western officials say this year's drop in prices may actually prove to be a boon in the effort to slow the explosive spread of opium across the country. Afghanistan produces 2/3 of the world's opium, but comparatively little of it is consumed domestically. Before being shipped to Europe and other destinations, the raw opium is processed into heroin in remote border areas and in neighboring Pakistan. Experts say the high price farmers receive for opium is by far the largest incentive they have to grow the illegal crop. If prices tumble far enough and the government mounts a credible crackdown, farmers may decide that growing opium is no longer worth the risk, they say. Afghan and Western officials consider the drug to be one of the gravest threats to Afghanistan's stability. Proceeds from the trade function as a powerful force pulling the country apart by corrupting local government officials, strengthening regional warlords who defy the central government, and funding an increasingly violent Taliban insurgency. These officials say they must speed up efforts to introduce alternative crops in the areas where farmers who grew opium this year fared poorly. They say a brief window exists to legitimately argue to impoverished Afghans that opium will no longer enrich them. Even with the drop in prices, the scope of the country's opium trade remains staggering. It appears that a record number of farmers, including vast numbers of Afghans who live in areas where opium has not been grown before, chose to sow it this year. Last year, an estimated 1.7 million Afghans, 7% of the country's population, grew opium in 28 of the country's 31 provinces. Opium generated an estimated $1 billion in 2003, roughly one quarter of Afghanistan's gross domestic product. Limited efforts by the Afghan government, the United States, and Britain to use eradication and alternative crops to slow the production of opium have failed. U.S. and Afghan officials say the boom in production was fueled by a surge in prices, creating an almost insurmountable temptation for farmers in one of the world's poorest countries. For decades, opium prices remained comparatively low in the country, at roughly $30 a kilogram, or 2.2 pounds, according to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. But after the Taliban enacted a brief ban on opium production in 2001, the prices soared 20-fold to $750 a kilogram. Eager to get in on this bonanza, farmers planted more and more opium in 2002 and 2003, according to the United Nations. Higher production brought prices down to roughly $350 a kilogram in 2002 and $283 in 2003. This spring, an oversupply of opium has driven the prices down to roughly $100 per kilogram on average across the country, according to Western diplomats. In the southern province of Helmand, long a center of opium cultivation, tomatoes are selling for more than opium, according to farmers and shopkeepers. One Western diplomat said that strong crops in northern Afghanistan flooded the opium market there. A handful of government raids on processing labs also appears to have made dealers nervous about buying large amounts of opium, he said. Dealers are shying away from buying and stockpiling large stashes of opium, fearing they could be destroyed in a raid, and that, too, has driven down demand and prices. In the South, the same thing appears to be happening. A trip last weekend to Helmand and neighboring Kandahar province, another bastion of opium cultivation, confirmed a sharp drop in prices. Whether this will convince more farmers not to grow opium next year is unclear. The vast majority of the profits from the opium trade is believed to go to middlemen, processors, and smugglers. Many impoverished Afghans grow opium as sharecroppers, borrowing land, seeds, or cash from wealthy Afghans for the chance to grow the lucrative crop. Lower prices this year may increase their indebtedness.
Section 3. Speaking up. Try to answer the following questions after you have heard the above passage. 1. What caused the opium prices drop in Afghanistan, according to Afghan government officials, Western diplomats, and opium farmers? 2. Why may this year's drop in opium prices actually prove to be a boon in the effort to slow the explosive spread of opium across the country? 3. What is considered one of the gravest threats to Afghanistan's stability, according to Afghan and Western officials? 4. How much did the price reach after the Taliban enacted a brief ban on opium production in 2001? 5. Have the efforts to slow the production of opium succeeded or not, and why? 6. The vast majority of the profits from the opium trade is believed to go to sharecroppers, isn't it? Section 4. Writing. Write a short summary of the passage you have heard. Thank you.